Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Wallingford and District Talking Newspaper for March the 25th, 2026. Articles have been taken from the Wallingford Herald. Your readers today are Jane, Jill and Sue. And twiddling the knobs is me, Martin. Pete will be copying the programmes for you.
Hey, sorry, I'm starting now, am I? Yeah. Hello, I'm Sue, and I'm reading the first article of the evening. It's entitled, Christie Statue Gets Spa Day Treatment. The statue of Wallingford's foremost former literary resident has been treated to a spa day by a local group determined to keep the figure's legacy shining. Wallingford Women's Institute were inspired to polish the statue of Agatha Christie in the Kinecroft in Wallingford after a talk by the sculptor Ben Twiston Davis about the creation. Agatha Christie lived in nearby Winterbrook House after she married her second husband, Max Mallowan, in 1934, until her death in 1976, and is a celebrated figure in the town. The statue of the world's best-selling novelist was installed on the Kinecroft bench in September 2023, and a permanent exhibition is dedicated to her in Wallingford Museum. This year, the museum, which reopened this month for its 226th season, is holding a special exhibition on the author to mark her 50th to mark the 50th anniversary of her death. The town's Agatha Christie Weekend will also return this year on May the 22nd until May the 24th, with a packed schedule of talks, events and shows to celebrate her legacy. And there's a delightful picture of Agatha Christie on the bench, surrounded by ladies in purple jackets, celebrating, cleaning her up. She's sparkling.
Hello, I'm Jane. Apprentice through to semi-finals. An apprentice from Didcot is through to the semi-finals of a national trade competition. Jamie Lewis, 26, is in the running for the 2026 Screwfix Trade Apprentice title after beating more than 3,000 applicants from across the UK and Ireland. She is currently studying a Level 3 electrochemical course part-time at JTL, Oxford. Ms. Lewis said, "I am delighted to have made it through to the semi-finals of Screwfix Trade Apprentice. To have been selected from a record number of applicants is a huge achievement for me. I'm excited about the prospect of representing Didcot on a national stage." If successful, she could take home a £10,000 trade bundle, including tools, training and tech. Ms. Lewis said she values learning every day and is especially interested in renewable energy and smart home automation. She added, "Being the only girl on site and in the classroom at college means I'm always striving to be the best." She is also juggling her studies and work with raising two young boys. Jack Wallace, Marketing Director at Screwfix, said, "As a retailer to the trade, we are committed to championing tradespeople across the UK and Ireland."
Hello, I'm Jill, and the next item is Pupils Impress in Spectacular Showcase. And pupils from a school in Didcot staged a spectacular dance showcase at the town's arts centre. Young dancers from the Aureus School were cheered in the theatre at the Cornerstone Arts Centre as they performed a series of energetic routines. The Arts Centre is at the heart of the Orchard Shopping Centre and stages a full programme of events and performances throughout the year. The showcase earlier this month featured students from Year 7 to 11, as well as guest performers and alumni. Amy King, Head of Performing Arts at the school, said, "The Aureus Dance Showcase is a celebration of creativity, collaboration and performance, bringing students together from across the school to share their work on a professional stage. The show featured a diverse range of pieces created through curriculum study, enrichment clubs and student-led choreography." Kirsty Rogers, head teacher, said, We have a fantastic student body whose range of attributes contribute to making Oria School a vibrant community. I have the privilege to be working with a dedicated and enthusiastic staff body who are passionate about inspiring our young people. And there's a photograph of them in performance mode.
Teen who supported IS had suicide vest at home. A 16-year-old boy from Didcot accused of supporting so-called Islamic State, IS, had stockpiled weapons, explosives and a suicide vest at his family home, a court heard. The teenager is suspected of sharing IS propaganda on terrorist attacks in Paris, as well as footage of battlefield explosions and killings. It is said he had 17 knives, including machetes, in his bedroom when the home was raided by counter-terrorism police on the 12th of March. The boy, who has converted to Islam as a teenager, is said to have had swords and a knuckle duster in his possession, as well as homemade explosives. He faces 7 terrorism charges, including over the alleged possession of a suicide bomb vest. The boy has also been charged with refusing to give police access to his phone while in custody after his arrest. He appeared in the dock at Westminster Magistrates Court on Thursday, and Chief Magistrate Paul Goldspring remanded him in custody in secure accommodation designed for youth defendants. Through his lawyer, the boy indicated not guilty pleas to all 8 charges against him. According to the charges, it is said he sent a video containing footage of Islamic State and attacks in Paris to his cousin in November last year, and the following month shared a battlefield video containing footage of Islamic State. On arrest, he is accused of possessing IS magazine Inspire 1, a document called 100 Deadly Skills, a suicide vest, a selection of knives and swords, and homemade improvised explosive devices. The boy is due to appear at the Old Bailey for a further hearing in April. The charges following an investigation by counter-terrorism policing for the South East. It includes 2 counts of disseminating a terrorist publication, contrary to Section 2 of the Terrorism Act 2006, and 3 counts of possessing an article for the purpose of terrorism, contrary to Section 57 of the Terrorism Act 2000. He also faces 2 counts of possessing material that may be of use for terrorist purposes, contrary to Section 58 of the Terrorism Act 2000, and failure to comply with a notice issued under Section 49 of the Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act 2000. The boy, who was first arrested on Thursday the 12th of March and charged by counter-terrorism police on Wednesday evening the 18th of March, cannot be named for legal reasons due to his age. Thames Valley Police issued a statement on Thursday morning saying the boy had been remanded in custody to appear at Westminster Magistrates Court later in the day after being charged.
Firm hits back at critics of new reservoir costs. Thames Water bosses have denied claims that plans to create a massive new reservoir near Abingdon are spiralling out of control. The claim was made by campaign group GUARD, Group Against Reservoir Development, and backed by local MPs. According to GUARD, costs for the Whitehorse Reservoir have tripled. Within months of a preliminary government approval, projected costs rose from £2.3 billion to between £5.5 billion to £7.5 billion. Water company bosses, however, suggested that the new reservoir was the best value option for securing water supply for 15 million people across the South East. Léonie Dubois, head of engagement, land and consents for Thames Water, said, "The Whitehorse Reservoir is the biggest water infrastructure investment in a generation and will provide water security for millions of people across the South East, which is why the work to enable its delivery is well underway. Last summer, we shared a revised cost estimate with our regulators, £5.5 billion to £7.5 billion, reflecting the detailed design work undertaken to date. We remain confident the reservoir represents the best value option for securing the water supply for 15 million people living across the southeast, including Thames Water, Affinity Water, and Southern Water customers. We continue to engage with the local community, and at our recent statutory consultation, showcased the latest reservoir designs and embankment plans alongside a detailed construction timetable. As is common with projects of this size, scale, and significance, we will continue to refine the design as we move through the consenting phase. Feedback gathered during our consultations will also shape project plans ahead of our development consent order application to government. Ms. Dubois set out the water company's case for the latest attack on the plans from campaigners, who said so far a total of £543 million had been spent on the project, which would be as big as Gatwick Airport. Supported by local MPs Ollie Glover, Charlie Maynard and Leila Moran, GARD has written to the water regulator Ofwat, suggesting the project still has no final design and no published construction time plan. Derek Stork, GARD chairman, said, "Large infrastructure projects normally reach the planning stage only after detailed engineering design and project delivery scheduling are substantially developed. For the Whitehorse Reservoir, these core elements are missing, making it impossible to produce a credible construction methodology, realistic timetable, or a defensible forecast of final costs. This is why we're requesting that the revised scheme receives a proper assessment against the viable at all alternatives." The water company said it has been clear on a delivery date of 2040 for water to be available for use from the reservoir. It added that the southeast is facing serious water stress due to climate change, population growth, and environmental pressures. And there's a little photograph of Léonie Dubois and also an artist's impression of how the reservoir could look.
Heads discuss banning mobile phones in school. Head teachers gathered to discuss banning mobile phones in schools. Matthew Barber attended the meeting at Aureus Secondary School in Didcot, led by head teacher Kirsty Rogers. The focus was on implementing a phone-free policy, including the use of lockable pouches. Mr. Barber noted that while mobile phones are indispensable for many, they can distract pupils, disrupt classes, and lead to poor discipline and lower attainment during school hours. He acknowledged barriers to a phone-free policy, such as phones connected to medical devices and young carers, but said these issues can be overcome. He has contacted other schools to discuss spreading best practice across schools. Aureus Secondary School will be banning phones with pupils using lockable pouches during the school day.
Easter antics on Adventure Trail. An exciting woodland adventure is returning for families to enjoy this spring. The Easter Adventure Trail will take place at High Lodge Farm in Cullum near Abingdon, running from March the 28th to April the 6th. Designed for young children and their families, the trail tells the story of Eddie the Egg, a curious egg who sets off on an adventure through the woods instead of staying in his egg box. Along the 1.2-kilometre woodland route, children will meet characters like Dippy Egg, Soldier, Sunny and Scramble, and each will be busy with their own springtime tasks.
Betty's 100th birthday marked with a mayoral visit. A 100th birthday has been marked with a royal card, a mayoral visit, and a chorus of happy birthday. Wallingford Town Mayor, Councillor Ros Lester, visited Westgate Care Home to celebrate the centenary of Alice Betty Pete, known to everyone as Betty. Councillor Lester said, "It was a privilege to visit Betty and share in such a joyful occasion, recognising both her long life and her connections to the local area. Betty was surrounded by friends and family for a lively birthday party on March the 16th and received a congratulatory card from the King and Queen. Betty spent most of her life in Sonning Common. Her parents ran the Bird in Hand pub and she attended Henley Grammar School after earning a scholarship. She lived independently until the age of 96 and never married. Her two nieces, who were present at the celebration, are her closest surviving relatives. The mayor's visit formed part of her civic duties, which include recognising significant milestones in the community. The council is responsible for maintaining public gardens, managing allotments, supporting the well-being of residents, and it works in partnership with both the district and county councils to deliver many services. And there's a lovely photograph of Ros Lester handing Betty a bouquet of flowers, and further bouquets of flowers can be seen in the background.
170 new homes could be in pipeline for village. Benson could be facing a proposal for a 170 home housing estate as a developer considers a new scheme on farmland. Developer Olivia Holmes has submitted an initial report to South Oxfordshire District Council on a proposal for 170 new homes on the land south of Watlington Road in Benson. Submitted by agent Walsingham Planning, the document reveals the intention to submit an outline planning application for 170 dwellings with all matters except access reserved. Proposing a landscape-led development for new homes across a mix of dwelling types for both market and affordable sales, the applicant said their plans incorporates public open space and green infrastructure plus a new vehicle and pedestrian access point onto Watlington Road. This initial document submitted to the council is requesting a decision on whether the developer will need to produce an environmental impact assessment for any future application. The same parcel of land has been subject to two previous applications for similar schemes in 2016 and 2023. Although no plans were brought forward for the latter, the earlier proposal, now a decade ago, saw an outline application for up to 120 new homes with access, open space, landscaping and play space submitted for the same site. South Oxfordshire District Council refused the application in May 2017, explaining the urban development would be a significant encroachment into the open countryside. It would detract from the rural character and landscape of Benson. Officers said at the time, the adverse impact of the development would significantly and demonstrably outweigh its benefits. The developer appealed the decision, but this was also rejected in July 2018. In this latest request, the applicant said, the concept of the master plan for the site is based around the principle of a central green open space running east-west through the site. This provides strong permeability and a pedestrian-friendly movement network and environment within the site and its connections to the wider landscape, ensuring maximum accessibility to new green spaces from the residential areas, increasing placemaking, health and well-being. Phil Murray, Chairman of the Planning Committee for Benson Parish Council, explained the proposal is not in Benson's neighbourhood plan or the District Council's local plan. He said, we have a duty to consider plans objectively, but we will represent the wishes of our community. I think it's fairly obvious that the community is fed up. We've had too many houses already, even if it was necessary, but we haven't finished them or had the relief road open yet. We're nowhere near done. And we absolutely, as a general principle, do not wish to see any further development, least of all outside of the settlement boundary which we've carefully constructed.
MP calls for reform of the UK's outdated voting system. A fresh call for a National Commission on Electoral Reform has been made in Parliament. Didcot and Wantage MP Ollie Glover urged the government to take action during a debate on the Representation of the People Bill, describing the current voting system as outdated and a source of public distrust. Mr. Glover said, "What is missing is something that would enable fundamental change to restore faith and fresh thinking in our politics, and that is a change to the voting system to make it more proportional. A record 60% of the public now support proportional representation, up from 52% in 2023. The Liberal Democrat MP, who serves as President of the Liberal Democrats for Electoral Reform and is an active member of the All-Party Parliamentary Group, APPG, for Fair Votes, welcomed many of the bill's proposals. These include extending voting rights to 16 and 17-year-olds, advancing automatic voter registration, and restricting foreign donations. However, he argued that without a move towards electoral reform, the bill falls short. Mr. Glover said, "To ensure the newly enfranchised 16 and 17-year-olds do not fall into the same democratic despair felt by so many, I hope the Minister will support the APPG for Fair Votes call for a national commission into electoral reform." The APPG continues to advocate for replacing the first-past-the-post system with a proportional system, arguing that this would help rebuild public trust in politics. The Liberal Democrats have been traditional supporters of electoral reform.
Mr. Beanstar opens up about social media worries. Rowan Atkinson has opened up about his worries about social media. The Mr. Bean actor, 71, bought the 1930s home Hansmuth House and its 16 acres of land in Ibston near Wallingford for £2.6 million in 2006. Mr. Atkinson moved into the property in early 2022 with his partner Louise Ford, who previously dated comedian James Acaster, the Daily Star reported. In December 2017, the couple welcomed their first child together, whom they named Isla. Speaking to Entertainment, i.e., the Blackadder star, who has lifted the lid on why he is not on social media sites such as Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, he said, "I worry about it so much. I worry about social media and the effects of it on our lives and the way that it works. But also, it's just fantastically relaxing not to be on it and not to have to worry about it and not to have to witness what people are saying. You may think it's a blinkered attitude, and it may be, but I find it incredibly relaxing." The actor said he believes the population has entered rather dangerous times, saying that we are only really starting to come to terms with social media. A few weeks ago, I read a quote from someone that said, "The world is changing faster than our ability to adapt to it." And I think there's a lot of truth in that, he added.
Pub company bosses' price rise pledge. The owner of 8 Oxfordshire pubs has made a price pledge amid what it says is a rise in stealth taxes. Tim Martin, the chair of Wetherspoon, has said the company's profits may be slightly below current market expectations, but has vowed to keep price rises to a minimum. He made the statement in the Major Pub Brands interim report published on Friday morning. Wetherspoon owns 8 pubs in Oxfordshire, including the Four Candles, the Swan and Castle and the William Morris in Oxford, as well as the Exchange and the Penny Black in Banbury and Bicester. In Abingdon, it operates the Narrows. In Whitney, it runs the Company of Weavers. And in Henley, it has the Catherine Wheel. In his statement within the report, Mr. Martin said, A plethora of stealth taxes, including non-domestic electricity charges and packaging charges, have not helped the company's outlook. He added, as previously indicated, increase in national insurance and labour rates will result in cost increases of approximately £60 million per annum, and non-commodity energy costs will add £7 million. Even so, he stressed that he hoped to keep any price increases very small. He said Wetherspoon will endeavour to keep price increases to a minimum.
Pupils plant bulbs in school project. Pupils have transformed their school grounds through a colourful new planting project. Children at Benson Primary School in the village near Wallingford took part in the scheme with a £200 donation from David Wilson Homes, which funded a school-wide bulb planting event. The activity, organised by the Benson Nature Group, saw every pupil plant a bulb in the school's playing field as part of an environmental education initiative. Tracy Coombe, volunteer coordinator at Benson Nature Group, said, "We're incredibly thankful to David Wilson Homes for helping make the spring bulb planting at Benson Primary School happen through its generous donation. Seeing every child plant their own bulb was fantastic. You could see how much enjoyment and pride they felt in what they were achieving. Activities like this may seem simple, but they are a powerful way to help children connect with nature and understand how they can care for their school environment." Pupils planted two tulip menton and bubble blend bulbs, which were expected to bloom in the coming months, creating a colourful display. And there's a picture, I assume it's of this lady from the nature group, with four pupils wielding their trowels and holding the bulbs in their hands, looking very proud of themselves.
Calls for new Oxfordshire living wage. Calls have been made for a new living wage in Oxfordshire as the county is dubbed expensive to live and to work. Labour Shadow Cabinet Member for Resources, Glynis Phillips, will call on the County Council to introduce an Oxfordshire living wage. An Oxford living wage was introduced in 2018 by the City Council, and it will rise to £14.06 from April 2026. The Oxford living wage is a voluntary rate set above the statutory national living wage, designed to ensure workers can meet everyday living costs in one of the UK's most expensive cities. Ms Phillips will put forward the new Oxen living wage at a County Council meeting this week. She said that in 2025-26, Oxfordshire County Council's lowest paid staff earned £980 less per year than if an Oxford living wage was in place, and that by introducing the higher wage for all County Council staff outside the city, a new wage would reflect the real cost of living in Oxfordshire. Ms Phillips will argue, paying the Oxford living wage helps tackle in-work poverty, improve staff well-being and retention, and supports local economic resilience. Extending to all suppliers, service providers and contractors via inclusion in all contracts will multiply the impact. From April 2026, the Oxford Living Wage, a voluntary set, a rate set of 95% of the London Living Wage, will be £14.06 per hour. The idea will be discussed with a decision made at the full council meeting on March the 24th.
Students in Speed Dating Careers Fair. Pupils explored a real-world career options through a lively speed dating event with industry professionals. The event, known as the Human Library, took place at Aureus School in Didcot and offered Year 8 and 9 pupils a chance to engage in short, focused conversations with guests from a range of industries. Amy King, careers lead at Aureus School, said, "The event was part of the school's commitment to provide meaningful encounters with employers. It ran from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. and followed a speed dating format, allowing students to rotate between visitors and take part in short, focused conversations about careers, life experience, and pathways into work. The guests, who represented sectors including business, engineering, creative arts, and public services, included representatives from the RAF, Abingdon and Whitney College, and small business owners. Among the most popular visitors was Janet Graves, owner of Twinkles Handmade. And there's a picture with said pupils and people from the industries they speed dated.
Fitness Drive aims to get us to move more. A new partnership is aiming to boost activity levels and support better health through nationwide challenges. Leisure operator GLL is teaming up with Diabetes UK for the third year running to support two of the charity's flagship fundraising and activity campaigns, Swim 22 and the 1 Million Step Challenge. GLL operates 19 leisure centres and sports facilities across Oxfordshire, including the Abbey Sports Centre in Beaconsfield, Wantage, Farringdon and Didcot Leisure Centres, Didcot Wave and Gym, and Whitehorse Leisure and Tennis Centre in Abingdon. It will promote the challenges to encourage participation and raise awareness of diabetes. Kevin Williams, Partnership Manager for GLL in Oxfordshire, said, "We're proud to support Diabetes UK again and help even more people discover the benefits of getting active. With millions of people in the UK at risk of developing type 2 diabetes, staying active and maintaining a healthy weight can play an important role in reducing that risk. Challenges like Swim 22 and the 1 Million Step Challenge make it fun and motivating to move more, while raising funds from an incredibly important cause. GLL will promote the challenges in its Oxfordshire members through social media and within its centres. To support participants, the organisation is offering discounted leisure centre memberships, free online and in-person training sessions, and guidance to help people train safely and effectively. Swim 22 asks participants to swim the distance between England and France over a period of 12 weeks, starting on the 22nd of March. Meanwhile, the 1 Million Step Challenge encourages people to walk an average of 10,800 steps a day over 3 months, starting in July. Shorter targets are available for both challenges. The aim is to get people moving while raising essential funds for Diabetes UK, which supports those living with diabetes and funds vital research. James Beebe, Director of Engagement and Fundraising at Diabetes UK, said, "We're delighted to partner with GLL again to inspire more people to take on a new fundraising challenge. Being physically active plays an important role in overall health and well-being, and events like Swim 22 and the 1 Million Step Challenge make it fun, achievable and rewarding for everyone involved. Across the UK, Better Leisure Centres support their members to improve their physical and mental health, and it is this shared aim that makes this collaboration so fitting. Diabetes is on the rise in the UK, with 4.6 million people currently diagnosed. Without the right care and support, diabetes can lead to serious complications, including amputations, heart attacks and strokes. Funds raised through the challenges will support Diabetes UK's research efforts and help the charity improve care and support for those living with the condition."
Empty homes being brought back into use. Hundreds of empty properties are being brought back into use. Councils in Oxfordshire are working with homeowners to address housing shortages and reduce long-term vacancies across the region. Over the past year, South Oxfordshire and the Vale of Whitehorse District Councils have engaged with the owners of 854 empty properties to understand why homes remain unoccupied and to offer tailored support to bring them back into use. Of these, 232 properties, including 102 in South Oxfordshire and 130 in the Vale, are now lived in once again. Tony Worgan, Cabinet Member for Housing at South Oxfordshire District Council, said we are an area of high housing demand. Every property sitting empty is a wasted resource. Every property should become a home for someone who really needs it. We're making huge efforts to work with property owners to help bring these homes back into use and positively impact our work to provide the homes that people need now and in the future. We hope all help we're offering property owners will be a real incentive to work with us to turn properties around. Currently, an estimated 1,162 properties remain empty, 597 in South Oxfordshire and 565 in the Vale, though some are unoccupied for valid reasons such as pending sale.
First image of how a town's vital new bridge will look. And it's an AI-generated picture of the Didcot Science Bridge. County Council leaders have revealed what Didcot's new multi-million pound science bridge is expected to look like. A new computer-generated image of the bridge has now been revealed as the contract has been awarded for its construction. The County Council has now agreed a contract with Volker Fitzpatrick to build the Didcot Science Bridge section of the HIF1 scheme for Didcot and surrounding areas. Volker Fitzpatrick will create a dual carriageway along the A4130 east of the A34 Milton Interchange and a new single carriageway bridge across the railway line and Milton Road. The dualling of the A4130 will repurpose the existing carriageway using the current southern ditch to create a central renovation and adding two new lanes to the south. The existing A4130 carriageway will travel eastward towards Didcot and the newly constructed lanes will travel westbound towards Milton Interchange. The three-span science bridge will cross the existing A4130, the Great Western Main Line Railway and Milton Road. The road will continue through the former Didcot A power station site, connecting back into the A4130 north of Purchase Road roundabout with a T-junction. The scheme will provide vital transport links to reduce congestion and enable more reliable journey times, improve pedestrian and cycling connectivity, and support new employment sites and housing in and around Didcot. The project includes four sections that bring improvements to existing roads, the construction of new roads, new walking and cycle routes, and will help to facilitate new and better bus services. Judy Roberts, Oxfordshire County Council's Cabinet Member for Place, Environment and Climate Action, said, "I'm very pleased that we have reached the stage where we have appointed Volker Fitzpatrick to build an important section of the scheme." Paul Lilly, Strategic Projects Director for Volker Fitzpatrick, said, "We are delighted to have been appointed to deliver the Didcot Science Bridge, a key component of this transformative infrastructure programme. Our team brings extensive experience in delivering complex civil engineering projects, and we look forward to working closely with Oxfordshire County Council and its partners to create infrastructure that will improve journey times, enhance sustainable travel options, and support future growth across the region. Work including site clearance, archaeology investigations, and utility diversions are already underway. The main construction is expected to start in the spring and last approximately 2 years."
AI supercomputer dedicated to fusion energy. The UK's first AI supercomputer to accelerate fusion energy will help researchers at Cullum campus tackle key fusion energy challenges. The 1.4 megawatt mission-focused supercomputer named Sunrise will establish the A1 built at the UK Atomic Energy Authority's Cullum campus near Abingdon in Oxfordshire. It is part of the government's fusion strategy to position the UK as a global leader in commercial fusion energy and is due for operation in June this year. The Department for Energy Security and Net Zero is investing £45 million for it to tackle key fusion energy challenges in areas such as plasma, turbulence, materials development and tritium fuel breeding. It will deliver up to 6.76 exaflops of AI-accelerated modelling, enabling high-fidelity simulations and the creation of digital twins for complex systems. Companies like Dell Technologies, Intel, Advanced Micro Devices and Waikato Environment for Knowledge Analysis will work for the University of Cambridge, the Department for Science and Innovation and the UKAEA. Dr. Rob Akers, UKAEA's Director for Computing Programmes, said Sunrise will bring that capability to fusion by combining high-fidelity simulation with physics-informed AI to develop productive digital twins that reduce the cost, risk and time of learning that would otherwise require expensive and time-consuming physical testing. And I've no idea what I was talking about.
Stepping out of your comfort zone. A real-life adventure challenge is inviting teams to race across the county using their wits and teamwork. Homeless Oxfordshire has launched Race Across Oxfordshire, an endurance event inspired by the BBC series Race Across the World, to raise funds for people experiencing homelessness. The challenge will see teams of two race across the county using only a limited budget and their own resourcefulness. Tim Wraith, Corporate Partnerships Manager at Homeless Oxfordshire, said we're looking for teams who are ready to step out of their comfort zones and take on a challenge like no other. Race Across Oxfordshire is about more than just reaching the finish line. It's a test of teamwork and resourcefulness that reflects the resilience shown every day by people we support. We want to see the local community come together to help us reach our fundraising goal and make a real difference to lives across the county. Taking place on Monday, May the 11th, the challenge will see teams travel between secret checkpoints across Oxfordshire while completing tasks and test their patience, resilience and problem-solving skills. The event begins at the Voco Oxford Spires Hotel and ends at a final undisclosed destination. All award events will be held at the same hotel on Monday, May the 18th, where winners will be announced and prizes presented. The charity is aiming to recruit 20 teams and is encouraging residents, colleagues and adventure seekers to take part. Each team must pay a £200 registration fee and raise a minimum of £1,000 in sponsorship. Funds raised will go directly towards supporting Homeless Oxfordshire services, which provides accommodation and specialist support for more than 170 people facing homelessness every night. The event is sponsored by Oxford Economics. To register a team or learn more about the sponsorship, please contact Homeless Oxfordshire.
Mum and son ran to thank hospital. A mother and son team took on a 5-mile run in support of the hospital that changed their lives. Alison and George Gregory from Didcot ran the OX5 run at Blenheim Palace on Sunday in support of the Oxford Hospital's charity. The race holds personal significance for the family after 16-year-old George spent 15 weeks at Oxford Children's Hospital following a basketball accident in November 2024 that ruptured his pancreas. Alison Gregory said, "The moment George was admitted to hospital, quite literally, our lives changed overnight. I don't think anyone could have predicted what was going to happen and how long and how deeply it would impact not only George but the whole family. As a family, we directly benefited from the programme of support that the charity offers, and this felt like a great way of showing our support. After emergency treatment at Abingdon Accident and Emergency, George was transferred to Oxford Children's Hospital and later referred to a specialist team at the Churchill Hospital due to the complexity of his injuries. During the long hospital stay, Miss Gregory came across a poster for the OX5 run and decided to take part. She said, "I knew about the OX5 run, having taken part over 10 years ago, but it was only during our lengthy hospital stay that I truly realised how this event plays such a part in what the charity is able to do for patients and staff. The family made frequent use of the facilities funded by Oxford Hospital's charity." Ms. Gregory said, "We spent a lot of time in the family room on Mel's ward, which the charity supports, and we love popping down to the charity hub to see Jamie and the team. It really helped us shape some normality in what is an extremely unpredictable time. George was discharged in March last year and has since returned to playing for his National League basketball team. This year, he was well enough to join his mum in the run. He said, 'I wouldn't be where I am today with the freedom to live my life in the way I do without the support of the many people who contributed to getting me better.'" And there's a photograph of George and his mum.
Councillor wants to end waste centre recycle rules. There are calls to scrap strict new rules on householders using council tips, with criticism of the bureaucratic burden and fears of increased fly tipping. Oxfordshire County Council introduced changes to how residents can use the household recycling centres across the county earlier this year. New rules include all visitors having to book a slot online before attending, bring a proof of address such as a driving licence or recent household bill, and a charge of £15 per visit introduced for anyone who doesn't live in the county. The new measures, which apply at all seven waste centres in the county, prove controversial, with many voicing concerns that adding rules to the system for legitimate waste disposal would increase instances of fly tipping in Oxfordshire. Conservative County Councillor for Kingston and Stanford, Lee Evans, has called on the council to scrap all the new rules and their bureaucratic burdens. He this week proposed a motion at Oxfordshire County Council's full cabinet meeting saying, "For 11 consecutive years under varying political leaderships, Oxfordshire County Council was named the top performing county council waste disposal authority. The 2025 satisfaction ratings of services survey showed 72% of residents were satisfied with the way household waste recycling centres operated, with only 16% dissatisfied. The hard work of employees who operate our centres, alongside the conscientiousness of Oxfordshire residents, made the operation of centres a success story in our county. In spite of this positive record, this council administration has implemented a series of changes, including a mandatory booking system and the need to bring proof of address with you when using a centre. This council acknowledges that the new rules for using waste and recycling centres place additional bureaucratic burdens on residents, making it harder for them to use local centres. The implementation of these rules, we believe, has reduced the number of visits to the centres, with more waste likely to be redirected into district and city council waste collections, or, in some case, it's fly-tipped."
Bake Off's Nigella to meet fans at Literary Festival. Nigella Lawson is set to meet Oxfordshire fans in public before her debut on Channel 4's Great British Bake Off later this year. The 66-year-old was named as the replacement for outgoing judge and Cotswold resident Dame Prue Leith in January. Ms. Lawson read Modern Languages at Oxford University's Lady Margaret Hall, edited the student magazine Isis, later saving it from financial trouble, and graduated in 1979. A portrait of the TV cook and food writer was then hung in the very same Oxford College, installed in 2018, to inspire students. It has now been revealed that Ms. Lawson is returning to Oxfordshire for the Henley Literary Festival later this year. The festival is celebrating its 20th year in 2026, from Friday, October the 2nd, through to Sunday, October the 11th. Events will take place across the riverside town in which fellow Great British Bake Off star Dame Mary Berry lives. Bake Off-bound Miss Lawson will make her debut at the festival on its opening night, Friday, October the 2nd. Julia Donaldson, the UK's best-selling author of all time, will be back at the festival for the closing day, Sunday, October the 11th, which marks her first appearance at the festival since its first year.
That concludes this week's edition of Wallingford and District Talking Newspaper. We hope you enjoyed listening, so until next time, it's goodbye from us all. Goodbye.
Bye. On this day, 1996, the EU's Veterinary Committee backed emergency measures over BSE, leading to the European Commission's formal decision to ban the export of British beef and its by-products. Last year, an independent KC found credible evidence of unlawful harassment of two women by MP Rupert Lowe and male members of his team, Reform said. Birthdays: Paul Michael Glaser, 83. Sir Elton John, 79. Sarah Jessica Parker, 61. And Kathy Dennis, singer-songwriter, 57. In history: in 1306, Robert Bruce was crowned King of Scots at Scone. 1655, Titan, Saturn's largest moon, was discovered by Dutch astronomer Christian Huygens. 1807, the Slave Trade Act became law. The Act abolished the slave trade in Britain and Ireland. 1843, the Thames Tunnel, designed by Isambard Kingdom Brunel, open to pedestrians between Rotherhithe and Wapping in London. 1957, six nations, West Germany, France, Italy, Belgium, Netherlands, Luxembourg, signed the Treaty of Rome to create the European Economic Community. And in 1980, the British Olympic Association announced it would defy the government and send athletes to the Olympic Games in Moscow, despite the Soviet Union's invasion of Afghanistan, which caused a United States-led boycott of the Games.